Now we're back. Okay, I don't want to get too far up afield with this, but as I was saying, so they were buried inside the walls of Jerusalem, but no one else got buried inside the walls of Jerusalem. So the only problem is that if the walls of Jerusalem are in front, or were discovered...
Nobody else got buried there?
No. No matter how great you are, no way, Jose.
Just the two contractors?
No, so the interesting thing is that was a problem according to one religion, because... If you find the walls that far out in front of the... then the garden tomb is inside, and that's a problem. So from what Rabbi Orlovsky told me, and I believe I trust him, so a certain religion's base called the Israeli government and said, cut it out, stop the excavation, because it was, as we say, a kasha on that opinion. But leaving it, let's leave that aside. So the main thing, well, I don't want to get into it because I want to get to the halakhos tonight. So we focus on the fact that the walls were breached. Now, as you know, even in the present day walls, you know, if you locked up Yerushalayim, it'd be hard to get in. In fact, that was a problem, I think, if I remember, I was a little boy then, during the Six Day War, how Israel captured the old city. Because, you know, it's hard to get in there if you close it up, even today. And certainly in those days when the walls were layered, and not only that, but if you just think a little while, so they breached the walls on the 17th of Tammuz, which is, let's look at it this way, let's say Sunday, and Tisha B'Av is until 3 weeks later. So in other words, it took them 3 weeks to, you know, basically destroy the Beis Hamikdash, because, you know, if you've ever been to Yerushalayim, you know, it's little back alleys, and which I think was also a problem for the Israeli army, because, you know, there's these back alleys, and you never know who's around the corner, and you don't know who's here, and you don't know who's there.
They didn't have plazas. There were no
right,
plazas.
Right, and you don't know where somebody's lurking. It's literally like...
That's why Paris is the way it is.
Huh?
That's why Paris is the way it is.
Well, let's not compare. But...
crooked streets.
No.
Mr. Kirschberg is on his way, so we don't want to...
Or Washington, D.C.
So we focus on the fact that the walls were breached. That was a big deal. To breach the walls, which were so fortified, was a big deal. But, again, as we said before, there's other reasons, too, and I don't want to spend too much time because we won't get... But let's go through them very quickly. So I always, at least to me, as I get older maybe, number one becomes more significant to me. Number one was the Talmud were given the Ten Commandments, were broken after the giving of the Torah, right? The first Luchos were broken. Now, that's huge, right? But we don't realize how personal that could be. Chazal say that when the Luchos were broken, that caused Shikha, forgetfulness, to come to Torah. Really, it should be, if you learn Torah, as soon as you learn something, boom, you remember it. For us, unfortunately, it's just the opposite. It takes like 40 million times for me to remember something in Torah. Like stupid things like what's somebody's batting average that people remember instantly. Or some little factoid on a Snapple cap. You know, that you'll remember. But something in Torah, which is the most important thing, that takes forever to remember. That is a direct result of the Luchos being broken. Just to tell you a quick story, I heard this in Yeshiva that a friend of mine, very smart guy, not like me, very smart guy, went to learn Mishnah Berurah, and he went to Rosh Sheinberg, Zangezunt, said that he didn't remember it. And what could he do? Because he was having trouble remembering. So supposedly Rav Sheinberg, and I believe this story, shrugged in not sympathy, but empathy, and said, yeah, it's hard the first 40 times. So, and he didn't mean it as a joke, but unfortunately, that's the way it is with Torah. You know, you got to knock it into your brain. So that's the breaking of the Luchos. That's what it is. Yeah, that's the good news. But wouldn't it be nice to know it earlier? So that's the Luchos. So when you think of, I stopped there, right? Shivas Ritama. So that's enough to fast for, right? Okay, the Tamid, which we'll learn about in this week's Parsha. It's very interesting. This week's Parsha Pinchas. the atonement sacrifice leads to being brought, offered, the destruction of the temple. That's very significant because it's the most important carbon. Bottom line, you got to have those two sheep, one for the morning and one in the afternoon. Evening, afternoon, or whatever you want to call it, afternoon. They had a place, an office in the Beis HaMikdash to make sure. Okay, we won't get into, there's a lot of chazal about that. But anyway, so when that ceased, that's bad news. That's the, that means the forget the physical walls, the, so to speak, spiritual walls are breached. Okay, the walls of Yerushalayim were breached by the enemy. A Torah scroll was set on fire. No, we're going to get to that soon. The awe that even non-Jews had for Torah. To burn a sefer Torah, they would never do such a thing. So that shows the tremendous descent of awe for Torah. Again, I don't want to get into that much. The Septuagint, the which is separate fast, the translation, quote unquote, of the Torah, right? That happened later. Well, actually earlier. But once the Torah is translated, so now the non-Jews look at it and say, oh, that's what it is. It doesn't make sense. An eye for an eye, everybody will go blind, right? That's because it doesn't say an eye for an eye. We've discussed this many times. It does not say that in the Torah. It says ein tachas ein, which does not mean eye for an eye. But if you translate it incorrectly, then look at it and say, well, that's Torah. So then it could lead to something like the Torah being burned. And an idol, of course, that's the same similar vein. Well, once you degrade Torah, so then I can put up an idol in the, God forbid, in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so I got far up a field with this. I'm sorry. Okay?
The memory of these tragedies always remains with the Jewish people. Therefore, this day was set aside for contemplating one's ways, improving one's deeds, and returning to Hashem to prevent such tragedies from recurring. The Rambam's words regarding devoting fast days to returning to Hashem are cited in chapter 25, section 2.
Okay, so over there, now, since we're running so late today, he quotes the Rambam. The purpose being to awaken our hearts and inspire us to, it's page 231, the purpose is to awaken our hearts and inspire us to return to Hashem. These days are to remind us of our misdeeds, which resemble those of our forefathers' misdeeds, which caused our past and present suffering. So in other words, these things are not historical events. They are, but in other words, these things are not just back then. It's now. It's a present. By remembering this, we shall be moved to improve ourselves. As it says, they should confess the sin of their sins and the sins of their fathers. So again, and the Rambam goes on. Yeah, he goes on to explain that the whole idea of a fast is not just a fast. Right, that's the outer manifestation, but the whole idea is to do tshuva, right? To do tshuva. Unfortunately, the problem is, especially Shivasa B'Tammuz, some people consider Shivasa B'Tammuz like the longest fast. You know, in a way, it's not really true. I mean, obviously, it's not true, but you know, for some people, psychologically, it's the longest, because you know, nighttime is one thing. You know, on Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, you know, nighttime, but day hours, it's the latest. You know, the days are getting, the sunset's getting earlier. So 3 weeks from now, sunset and Seisel Kachav, when Shabbos ends, will be earlier. So Tisha B'Av ends earlier. So some people consider like Tisha B'Av in a way, I don't know how, but an easier fast. I mean, it's just a couple of minutes, but still, that's the way the mind works. And Shivasa B'Tammuz is like the latest fast. So a lot of people focus on, you know, fasting, which... But again, what we really have to do is use the time to try to get closer to Hashem. So we don't, like Mrs. Freeman said, we don't have to go through it again. Okay, number two, I'm sorry.
Number two, all the laws pertaining to public fast days mentioned in chapter 25 are observed on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Mm-hmm. E.g., one may not eat or drink. Slichos are recited, the Torah is read, Anenu is added to the Shmona Esrei, etc.
Right, so... so again, there's a lot of halachas concerning a regular fast, like could you brush your teeth, you really shouldn't, you know, in the morning. If it really bothers you, so you, you could take a shower, as long as you don't. We're going to see on Tisha B'Av, obviously you can't. You could wear leather shoes on Shavuot Sar B'Tammuz. That's going to only be Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. You know, there's a little comparing and contrasting between the various fast days, but this is what they call, quote-unquote, a minor fast. Major fasts are obviously Yom Kippur, which is the only one from the Torah, and Tisha B'Av. Those we consider, I don't know, rightfully or wrong. Those are the major fasts. These are, quote-unquote, minor fasts, so there's little differences there. Okay, now here's what we really want to get to. Okay, number three.
Okay. The 3 weeks from the 17th of Tammuz until Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av, are called Yemei Bein HaMetzarim, Days in Straits. The name is derived from the verse in Echa, Lamentations. All her persecutors overtook her in her straits, Echa 1:3. This verse describes the destruction of the temple.
Right, so that... So now what you have to realize is, and a lot of people make this mistake, that we're starting the 3 weeks, we'll see according to Ashkenazim, the 3 weeks starts on Shavuot Sar B'Tammuz. So what you got to remember is we fast starting Sunday morning. I think the fast starts like 4:29, like very early, right, before sunrise. But some of the halakhas we learn about the 3 weeks start Saturday night, right? The fast is Sunday morning, Sunday. But the 3 weeks start Sunday night.
Saturday night.
So people get confused about that. No, that's the 9 days. CPU, that's one of the things.
Is that because it actually starts on Shabbos, but you can't do it during Shabbos?
What?
Is that because it starts
on Shabbos? This year, that's another thing that's confusing. This year, the 3 weeks and Tisha B'Av and the 9 days are Sunday, legitimately Sunday. Legitimately Sunday. What you're thinking of, sometimes the 3 weeks and Tisha B'Av could be start on Shabbos or be on Shabbos, and we push it off. That right, so that's a little confusing. A lot of people will think like what you're thinking, that let's say Tisha B'Av this year will be on Saturday night, and some people will get confused and say, no, really it was Shabbos pushed off till Sunday. That's not true. It's legitimate, actually on Saturday night, Sunday this year. Okay, the Haftarah of each...
The Haftarah for each Shabbos during these 3 weeks discusses the tragedies and punishments which will befall the Jewish people because of their sins. The Haftarahs are called Gimel Depur Anusa.
Very good. Gimel Depur Anusa, the three of the trilogy. Wow, that's nice.
Trilogy.
On punishment, right?
Mm-hmm.
The three of doom, or I don't know, of, right? Because of the three Haftarahs starting next... Not this upcoming Shabbos. Next Shabbos, right? Because that's right, because we get, Sunday is the beginning,
right.
So Saturday night. So next Shabbos will begin the three. It always works out that way, right? The way one of those rules of the calendar is Parshas Devarim is always the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, what we call Shabbos Chazon. We'll talk about that. And the Shabbos of Parshas Va'eschanan. It's always what we call Shabbos Nachmo, the Shabbos after. In other words, Tisha B'Av will always be between Parshas Dvarim and Parshas Va'eschanan. That's a calendar rule, whatever you want to call it. So again, this year it's a leap year. So Matos will be number one, Maaseh will be number two, and number three, the third one, Gimel Parnusa, will be Dvarim. Those are the three, and Va'eschanan and Meretz Hashem will be Shabbos Nachmo. Okay.
The laws of mourning are observed to commemorate the destruction of the temple during these 3 weeks.
Right. So now, again, we'll just get into this. We'll try to go a little faster. And that is that as we get closer to Tisha B'Av, right, we start with the breaching of the walls. As we get closer and closer to Tisha B'Av, the mourning will intensify. Right. Coming to a head, so to speak, on Tisha B'Av. Then it lets up. Right, midday, and so on and so forth. Right, so that's the concept. Okay.
Number four.
Yeah.
The laws of mourning observed during Yemei Bein Hametzarim. For marriages are not performed from the 17th of Tammuz until after the 9th of Av.
Right, that's why I wasn't here the last 2 nights. Everybody's trying to get married now. Because you got 3 weeks off. So if you're in a band or something like that, so, you know, this is a vacation time. Will be vacation time. that this in Svira. But that's why I wasn't here Sunday, Monday, right? Because it's Chasanas. People are trying to get in before the 3 weeks start. But again,
some Sephardic communities only observe the laws of mourning from Rosh Chodesh Av until after Tisha B'Av,
what we call the 9 days.
Okay. Although one may become engaged during these 3 weeks, engagements may not be celebrated with a festive meal from Rosh Chodesh Av through Tisha B'Av. One may celebrate an engagement by eating cakes, candies, etc., since this is not considered a meal.
No music, though.
No music.
Okay. No music at an engagement party. And the idea is very interesting. The idea is Shemei Yechad Menu Acher, that we want to make the engagement, we want to solidify with a public announcement that these two people are engaged. Because so a lot of us would say, what's the big deal? Wait 3 weeks. What's the big deal? Wait 3 weeks. Answer is, because if you don't make it public and solidify it, so then in 3 weeks, who knows what could happen? Shemei Yechad Menu Acher. Maybe somebody else will jump in and you never know what will happen. So therefore, do it now. It's the 3 weeks. That's more important. So we minimize it, right? We don't make a big hoopla with music and a 12-piece band, but or even a 5-piece band. But we'll because that allowed the engagement to be made public. So really, number one, he just slipped in here. I was realizing it. And that is, during the 3 weeks, Ashkenazim don't have music. So starting Saturday night, music is out. Now, there's a discussion about, what does that mean, music? Mean live music, not live music? But the answer is that Rav Moshe Feinstein's Eichos Avraham says tape music is also out. So I don't want to get too much in a rampage on this, but one theme that we're going to weave through here is that these incidents, but especially the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, which we'll talk about at length on Tisha B'Av, Bein Tov U'Mutav, and that is so huge for us. It's so important. It's not just the destruction of a building. It's the cataclysmic effect on the world and on us. That one idea that we have to have, and the Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and his sefer that they brought back for me talks about this a lot, is that isn't the Beis HaMikdash so important that we could survive for 3 weeks with, let's say, without music? So now we have the slippery slope of, okay, so the, basically Ramosha's tshuva was accepted that we don't listen to even tape music, not just live music, tape music. But now what we have is the proliferation of, a cappella and the way they could do a cappella, because that's true in our halacha. It's just if people are just singing, that's okay. With no musical coming, that's okay. So now we could stretch that and put it on a CD, and we could tweak it digitally, of course, in a recording studio. It's also very interesting. It used to be you had to have a recording studio. Now anybody could do it in their own house, with software and put out something incredible. They don't even realize. It's amazing how so Rav Moshe Feinstein understood that even back when, and so he said tape music is also out. So now Rav Moshe didn't talk about digitally. But now we can have a cappella music that sounds like there's instruments being played. We could tweak a voice. So again, this is a big modern discussion. I'm not a POSEC, but it just bothers me that, for little kids, I don't know, that we can't go 3 weeks without focusing on the Beis HaMikdash and survive without music for 3 weeks and other things.
I'm surprised that vocal cords are not considered a musical instrument.
Well, it is, but actually it's very interesting. But I don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
But
I digress.
But I've digressed a lot tonight.
Nusach and trope is not considered music.
What?
Nusach and trope is not.
No, that's right. Just the voice is not. But the only thing is now we have the ability to play around with a voice so that it sounds like this instrument and that instrument. So again, we have to think about the hashkafa behind it, the philosophical idea. And unfortunately, we lose sight of what the Beis HaMikdash meant to us. Okay, so music's out. That's the first idea. So during the 3 weeks, music is out. Number five.
Shehecheyanu is not recited over a new fruit or a new garment during these 3 weeks. These 3 weeks are a time of punishment. Therefore, it is customary to refrain from situations which require reciting Shehecheyanu. One who has the opportunity to eat a new fruit should wait until Shabbos to recite She'achyanu and eat the fruit. One recites She'achyanu for a mitzvah which cannot be deferred, e.g. circumcision, redeeming the firstborn, even if the mitzvah is done on a weekday. Similarly, one who has a new fruit which will not keep until Shabbos and which will be unobtainable after Tisha B'Av may recite She'achyanu and eat it on a weekday. Sephardic Jews follow the Ari's custom and do not even recite She'achyanu on Shabbos during these 3 weeks.
Okay. So this is number two. So during the 3 weeks, again, starting Motzei Shabbos, no music. Number two is we don't make a She'achyanu. Now, a lot of people mix this up with Svira. On Svira, you don't have this component. You don't have this component. A lot of people mess this up, but the Marsham says it very clearly. And that is that on Svira, you know, a lot of the things that are contained during 3 weeks apply, but not She'achyanu. In other words, during Svira, you could make a She'achyanu. You could buy a new garment. Now, again, I don't want to get into this that much, but we're all aware that if you buy a new garment, it's a significant garment, not like socks. Well, it actually depends on what brings you simcha, but basically a significant garment, so then you would make a She'achyanu. Now, there's a difference of opinion when you buy it or when you wear it. Now, generally what we do is we make the She'achyanu when we wear it. We buy it, maybe it doesn't bring a simcha, it has to be altered or whatever the case may be. So you make a She'achyanu when you buy a significant garment. Some people, so Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach also discussed this, instead of making the She'achyanu, they have in mind the garment in the morning brachas, when they make the bracha of Malbish Arumim. Some people like that a little better, but you could make a She'achyanu if it's a significant garment that brings you happiness, whatever that may be. Also on a new fruit. A new fruit is a little more complicated. We get to this on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Second day of Rosh Hashanah, there's a question, you know, whether you make a She'achyanu on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. It's different than the other second days, because specifically the second day of Rosh Hashanah is one long day. Again, I don't want to get into that too much. So you should have a new fruit on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. For us, Baruch Hashem, it's hard to find a new fruit. I remember when I was a little boy, there was such a thing called summer fruit and winter fruit. But now, because of transportation, I don't think there is such a thing anymore. You could get bananas anytime. Right, because we all know, because in the southern hemisphere the seasons are different. So winter is summer and summer is winter, and nobody knows what season it is, and global warming, and who knows what's going on here. So so therefore, again, what you make a She'achyanu on fruit is not so clear cut anymore like the old days. Again, if you buy what I call Rosh Hashanah fruit, it was a fruit that you wouldn't usually eat. You're only buying it because you want, need to make a She'achyanu the second day. So then you make a She'achyanu. But I think this issue of a new fruit is less of a problem because of transportation, and you have all the fruit all the time. You could get apples anytime. You could get bananas anytime. You could get anything anytime. So, again, the idea number two is we try not to make a She'achyanu during this time. So no music, no She'achyanu. That's
this is probably Hashkafet, but let's back up. Why did you take a person who's miserable and then you try to take away all the things that are comforting? Right? I mean, it's
no,
hard
well,
to see
you're
here.
Not supposed to be miserable, but...
Well, but let's say, right, because you liken it to clouds of mourning. So there are things a little clearer, right? You are devastated. Somebody has...
Hopefully.
Died. Yeah, okay? So what's the first thing we do? We take out all the things that could make you feel better.
Right, because you're not supposed to be feeling better.
This is odd.
Right, in our society, we don't want to feel bad, but we're supposed to feel bad. We're supposed to feel bad. So if you feel bad, you want to go to a wedding?
No.
You shouldn't want to go to a wedding. You should want to get married. I mean, in a way, if you want to look at it that way, you should instinctively, like, I don't want to do this. Right? Somebody, I don't know what, Rahman Salam, they lost some money. I don't want to go to this wedding. So this is worse than, you know, you had money at IndyMac, right? federally insured. Okay, whatever.
You had a lot of money.
Yeah, over the FDIC, whatever, right. So a person would be upset. I don't want to go to a wedding tonight. So this is worse than IndyMac. Much worse. Okay, here's number three. So no music, no shekhianus, and?
One may not have a haircut or shave during these 3 weeks. Sephardic Jews do not have haircuts or shave from the beginning of the week in which Tisha B'Av occurs, rather than for the entire three-week period.
Right, so according to Sephardim, a lot of Sephardim just do, a lot of Sephardim Rabban told me that they do hold in 9 days, but really technically it's they hold Shua Shokalbo, the week that Tisha B'Av fell out on. Now what will be interesting is this year, if you go that way, because this year, the week that that Tisha B'Av fell out on isn't. Right, because it's Sunday, really Sunday, as I said before. So there's just some different, a lot of Sfarim would back it up to the previous week. Like I said, a number of Sfarish Rabban told me that the custom today is that they start from Rosh Chodesh. Anyways, but again, Sephardi Jews have different customs how to do this. But again, according to Ashkenazim, the third element is starting from Saturday night, you can't get a haircut. So that's why we're sending out emails telling people don't forget to get a haircut this week. Right, so haircut and shave, for men shaving. Now again, if there's particular shahs about business and stuff like that, those are, but again, besides that, so that's, an avel doesn't shave or get a haircut, so we superimpose those halachas onto all Jewish people, because we're mourning over the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so those are the three elements that we really got to know starting Hashem Saturday night. No music, weddings, along with that. No Shekhianu. So you don't buy new clothes. Okay, if there's a sale. Now, again, we're not talking about, the places which have perpetual sales, right? They're always on sale. Not like Fry's or something. It could be maybe Fry's, has a particular, maybe somebody would make a shakyan over a new computer. Don't take it personally, Mr. Harrison.
No comment.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, couldn't you buy it or just not wear it?
You shouldn't even buy it because, like I said before, some opinions hold that when you buy something new, significant, like clothing, you should make the shakyan then. So it is interesting that there is I don't know how you call this, but a woman's, I don't think you use this word for women's clothes, haberdashery?
No, it's a man's.
A man is haberdashery. So I'm, whatever.
Courtier.
Courtier. Okay, Mr. Cohen will fit. Well, anyways, a woman's store. How about that fancy word? A woman's clothing store that, and I think they're doing it this year also, that is owned by from people, that they make a sale during the 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason why they do that is pretty obvious, because they have no business, right? If you're selling from Snia's clothes during the 3 weeks, and you have this halacha, the business is going to be kind of not so good. So what do they do? So there's a loophole, if you want to call it that. And that is, if there's a legitimate sale, so then we allow people to buy things because it's going to be discounted. And like you're saying, how much simcha is there really when I buy it? It's really when I wear it. I'm not really wearing it. I make the shekhan when I wear it. And since I'm going to lose money and I really want that dress and I've been looking at it, looking forward to the sale, so now what happens is, I'm not saying this is wrong or right, it's like, and that is this, these places make sales during that, so then the whole thing snowballs. Well, since I have a sale, it's a real sale, I'm going to lose money, the buyer, the seller for sure. So now I make a sale, bedavka, during the 3 weeks, and then business is booming, right? So again, that it's not for me to decry that. I can understand why they're doing it. Again, the tapes and the acapella, I could go on a rampage on that. But, but anyways, that's what happens. So, it's easy for me to decry because I'm a man. But if my favorite suit place downtown made a sale during the 3 weeks, I don't know if I'd be such a big tzaddik, right? You know, it's easy for me to decry, since it's my money that goes on the credit card for women when, you know, say, all my family wants to go, right? So it's easy for me to say, it's awesome.
Please let me ask this detail. I know when you're in the store, you buy something in the store and you're holding it and you put it against you. You're not wearing it yet, but you're buying it there, you take it home. What about over the phone mail order? And you might not get it for 2-3 weeks. You don't see it. You're not holding it. Is there still some level of simcha that you shouldn't even do mail order?
I don't know. Yeah. No, that's what we're talking about. Didn't he say that? There is for... I don't know. He doesn't really discuss it. But yeah, that, like I said before, you really shouldn't buy it. I don't know. I thought he would discuss it, but maybe he didn't. I don't know about you, but when I buy something like that over there, so I do feel, I don't know.
I can understand.
It could be a little different because, you know, like, maybe it's relief because the kid's not nudging you anymore. But I don't know, you buy a ticket to, I don't like traveling. But, I get, you got me in a way. But yeah, I think people feel simcha. Just on purchasing something, I think they do. No? Again, but that's true. I think, you know, because it is yours. So, again, you're right. It is a problem because of literally the global economy. So you get a notice that we're having a 24-hour sale on tickets to wherever, to New York. I see this very often, right? Especially with, let's say, plane tickets the way they are now. Unfortunately, so like I know that happened to me. The tickets were very expensive, and I wanted to go learn in yeshiva, so we bought a ticket, and then like a week later, the tickets, there was a 24-hour window, and they were much cheaper. So I got that second ticket because that flew to New York instead of to Newark, which is closer to the yeshiva. And I got a credit now, So, you know, like there is such, so those are legitimate that you could buy in those type of situations because it would be a loss of money. So, Chazal didn't slam on that. But again, in our global economy and with the internet and everything, again, without getting into internet right now, it's a separate discussion. But yeah, these type of things come up a lot. Okay, so that's really all we need to know for right now, and actually maybe we'll stop here. So those are the halakhos for the 3 weeks that we have to bear in mind. In other words, why we have the 3 weeks, those significant reasons, breaking of the luchos, breaching the walls, the idol, the tamid, which will be this week's parsha, as I mentioned before, the burning of the Sefer Torah for the first time. Fortunately, I neglected to mention, unfortunately it's happened a lot of times since. That was the first time.
So, 1,000 years, nobody ever
heard of Torah. Right. It would never. I know. It just shows how far we've sunk. Where unfortunately now it's at a point where some people are going to say, Sefer Torah would be upset, but no, okay. It's all news. That's really sad. It's really sad.
Yeah, it's like what Stalin said, you kill one person, it's a tragedy. You kill a million, it's a
That's
statistic.
Right. That's
so
right.
We got that point where somebody
unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, it's just another.
Yeah, another terror attack. A guy takes a bulldozer down the street and kills, you know, 3 people. Sad.
On the one hand, I understand that if the Torah is burned, the letters go to Shemaya. But on the flip side, I know that if you drop a Torah in the shul, it's really bad for the shul. So the question is,
they're both bad.
Does it have a bad effect on the community?
Yeah. I mean, again, whenever something happens in a community, we gotta think about it. Like, unfortunately, when we've had tragedies, well, see, again, that's up to the rabbanim of the community to decide that. Usually, we're loath to tell people to fast because it's hard for people to fast altogether, even though obligatory fasts, major and minor. But certainly, this is a struggle, especially, unfortunately, of late we've had one after another, which is a consideration of the rabbanim of a community, like, you know, like, unfortunately, they come, hopefully they should not, but come unfortunately so often that how many times could you pull a string? Again, especially people, it's hard for people to fast altogether. And what will you accomplish if people fast? You know, like, okay, people try to get through the fast. And so these are considerations that we take into mind when we consider these things. But, you know, we try to do things that would be more concrete and have maybe a deeper effect.
How long have we been observing the 3 weeks?
Since the destruction of the base of Midas, right?
Since the beginning.
Yeah. Since the second, I mean, yeah. For too long. But again, that we'll pick this up in Mir Sashem next week. Then we'll talk about the 9 days, as you can see, is number 7. But again, the thing to keep in mind for the 3 weeks is music, shachianu, weddings. Engagements are okay. Weddings, music, shachianu, and haircuts, haircut shaving. Those are what we have to. Yeah, no, that's true. The big danger is, like we said before, is that we go through the motions. Right, we talk about this Tisha B'Av morning when we talk about kinos, right? So we always talk about, we always discuss about going through the motions, okay? It's whatever it is, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. Are we going to clock watch or are we going to really try to experience? So, you know, that's kind of hard what we try to do with Rabbi Goldberg and Rabbi Stolberg and Rabbi Miller. And the video is try to get people to understand the moment and experience it rather than just go through the motions, which is what we're trying not to. So you're right. So hopefully instead of just going through the motions, okay, another 2 weeks and 6 days without music, and you know, actually realize, you know, there's really an issue here. Right, so again, with Chazal, that really gets back to the Aruch HaShulchan we were talking about originally. The Chazal had Ruach HaKodesh beyond our comprehension. So Chazal, when they legislate, it's not like the U.S. Senate, right? Or anyway, any physical one, right? You have a problem and they do their best to try to put their finger into the levy, right? But then there's other problems and there's problems and that. Chazal had Ruach HaKodesh, which we can't understand. It's way beyond our comprehension. So when they made a Drabbanan, it was a very surgical, right, to the point. So, right, we can't. For you, this thing brings you, I don't know what. So knitting brings you pleasure. To me, knitting would be, well, let's not even go there, right? So, but Chazal did things that addressed things that were basically universal, right? You're right. There could be somebody who music does absolutely nothing to. I think a vast majority of people, music does something to them, for them, which is good, right? We need music, right? We need that. So, haircuts, it's, you know, even with a beard, you know, not being able to shave is a little, but, okay. So, Mir Sashem, we'll pick this up next week. We'll go further and understand the halakhos of the 9 days.
Yeah, a primitive beard is in